U.S. Representative Darlene Hooley describes the role of the Clackamas County-based Pacific Northwest Defense Coalition and the war-related projects they promote.
Oregon, first of all, has literally no military presence, no substantial military presence. We don't have any military bases. So this is a way of doing a couple things. One is it helps create quality jobs in Oregon, and it helps keep our soldiers safer, our country safer. But it is also, these are great projects that sometimes they're developed through the military that have other applications, and sometimes it's other applications that the military can use.
The coalition held its first meetings in January of 2005 after a blitz of organizing, funding, and legislation to establish a cluster of war-related companies in the shopping mall-studded suburban community. The effort started in 2001 when Oregon State Representative Karen Minnis engineered a $200,000 seed grant from state coffers, creating the Oregon Science and Technology Partnership. The partnership is a 501c3 nonprofit with funding from almost every local government within 50 miles of Portland. It also receives funding from the Regional Investment Board and the state lottery. Its goal is, quote, to provide catalytic leadership to promote and commercialize academic science and technology development. Tom Hartung of the World Policy Institute in New York explains the economic trade-offs of the new local war buildup.
Military spending, for one thing, creates fewer jobs than most other kinds of investment. You'd get probably twice as many jobs if you spent money on education, healthcare, housing, mass transit. Now, some of that is because there's a strata of high-paying jobs within the military sector. But a lot of it has to do with the fact that they have very expensive materials that they use, that the companies make large profits, often cost plus, which means whatever they spend, the government gives them a percentage on top of that. And a lot of these systems, there's no real way to gauge what they're worth. I mean, if you're only building a couple hundred F-22 fighter planes, for example, who's to say what's a fair cost for that? And at the moment, it's over $200 million per plane, which is the most expensive fighter plane ever built. So there's this whole structure in military procurement where the costs are very high, the job payoff is fairly low, and you really don't get much in terms of the future of your economy like you would if you were training people, giving them better education, better job training, and so forth.
Karen Minnis, now Oregon's Speaker of the House, in 2003 sponsored House Bill 2011 to, quote, ensure we have the business-friendly climate we need to grow and attract 21st-century jobs in Oregon. Representative Hooley remains adamant that U.S. Defense Department contracts are good for Oregon and good for the economy.
For example, a company called Hemcom, they make a bandage that was literally, they showed it to the military. The military said, we are losing men and women because of bleeding to death. You know, we've got the armor vests that they wear, but we lose them when they're shot in the arm or the leg and they bleed to death. And these bandages go on and stop the bleeding immediately, so you don't have to have a tourniquet on it. Well, this has obviously not only application to the military, but it has application to everyone, whether it's in their car or their homes or in hospitals.
KBOO reporter Rabia Yeaman got the scoop on the product from a top Hemcom official at U.S. Senator Gordon Smith's Defense Contractors Fair held at a Portland shopping mall in January.
Okay, well, can I get your name and your company?
Bill Gettler from Hemcom. We're a small company out of Tigard. We make hemorrhage control bandages for severe hemorrhages. Someone's bleeding severely, they put the bandage on. Within a couple of minutes, it stops the bleeding. So it's a very important bandage product for a local area.
And are you currently contracting your product with the government now?
Yes, we are. Currently, we have contracts with the government. We have various government agencies that are buying our product.
And is your product being used overseas?
Definitely. We've had a number of people that have used our product, and their lives have been saved. So we're real proud of our product.
And can I ask approximately how many of these products you have contracted to sell or have already sold to our government?
I don't know that I can give you that number exactly, but it's a large number. And there's going to be more.
In part three of this series, Nanotechnology in Oregon, Dr. Strangelove or Lifesaver. Reporting for KABU, Stephanie Potter, Martha Odom, Rabia Yeaman, and Lisa Loving.